We're so thankful. If you're a volunteer, or maybe you're home watching and were a volunteer yesterday, thank you so much, Carla. Tremendous job, and just so thankful for the years of service, all of our ladies and men over here and around that served yesterday and the days to come. We're so thankful. Or the days prior, thank you so much. You did a tremendous job, and everybody working together makes days like yesterday so smooth, and so thank you so much. It was good to see so many people serving and working. Are you all ready for the word? Yes. Okay, are you ready to be uncomfortable? Now, that wasn't as loud, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the word and uncomfortable kind of go together because the word challenges us in very uncomfortable ways. And so get ready to be a little uncomfortable. So if you've got your Bibles, I know the last couple of weeks we've been in Acts. We'll be in Acts again today. And we talked about Philip and Philip the evangelist, not Philip the apostle. And we looked at the two encounters there. You know what's kind of cool? If you look at the end of his life, you kind of see him referenced again in Acts. And you see that his four daughters, I'm like, Lord, please, prophesying about Jesus Christ. I mean, that's I have four and then two fosters. So I'm going to add six to that number and say, let's say, you know, maybe one day six prophesying about the presence of the Lord. And so you see his legacy, what? Continue on in his, we had VBS yesterday, they're called children. You know what I mean? Like his legacy went on in his, okay, and if you don't have children, you're still a part of that, okay? All right. Anyway, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9, and we're going to look at kind of something that is really significant, and if you remember, it all ties together, because the reason that Philip was kind of scattered, and he went to a city where everyone found the joy of the Lord, and then he was lifted up, teleported, whatever you want to call it, into the middle of the desert willingly, and all because there was persecution by Saul. Y'all know Acts, right? Or some of you? Okay. So Saul, and so there's a lot of persecution. So we're going to look at that, but we're not going to look at the traditional transformation of Saul to Paul. Today we're going to look at a side story or a side person in this event, and that is Ananias. And so if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. And hey, if you're home watching us or you're here, why don't you stand for the reading of God's powerful and changing word? Meaning it changes our hearts. Now, so this is right after, and I love this because I like movies, or Ash and I both like movies that kind of do like on the screen, it goes present day, then it goes 10 days earlier, and then you see another character and it's present day, then 10 days earlier, and all of a sudden you're seeing all the ways the kind of pivot point or the pivot point of the movie meets and how everybody kind of got there. This is this moment. So we got to see what's happening to Saul, soon to be Paul, and now we're going to see how he was speaking to Ananias at the same time. Aren't you encouraged today that as he speaks to me, he speaks to Abby? Aren't you encouraged today that as he speaks to me, he speaks to Jared? He speaks to, do you get that? And this is a beautiful transcription of that, that he is moving all over for the purposes of goodness, for the purposes of his glory being known, of love being shown, grace and mercy. And this is a tremendous event where grace and mercy and transformation is seen. So starting in verse 10, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now, I said this in first service. I'll say it again for fun. This is not the same Ananias and Sapphira who died because they lied about tithe, okay? And so if you're lying about tithe, read that one. But this is the other one, okay? This is Ananias who's not associated with that. Different translation of their names, two different people. So now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother, love this, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Tremendous. God, we ask right now that your presence, God, I just pray that you would just bring words straight from your throne into this sanctuary today, that you would speak, that you would move, God, that you would speak in every home that's represented and watching online, Lord, that you would just do a mighty work, a powerful work. God, let the scales fall off in this place. Let us go out seeing clearly. Let us understand your ways better. God, let us embrace the way that you walked and saw people. And so today we pray against the enemy that continues to just put forth plans that are not good, that are not full of love, that are not embraced by your presence. And so we rebuke that in the name of Jesus and cast it out through your power. And we ask that you would be present here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. All right. You ever done anything hard? Yes, I like that. Okay, you're with me. So we've all probably at some point either done something hard, right, or walked through something that was hard. In fact, some of you may even be walking through something that is hard right now. And so you know what it means to do hard things. In fact, some of the language that my wife uses with our kids that I kind of like is she talks to them sometimes about hard things. And when they present something, she says, you know what? Sometimes in life, we have to do hard things. And when we work through and walk through those hard things, the other side, right? The other side is always beautiful, always better. And oftentimes, we do what with hard things? We look at them and we say, nah. Right? I mean, just let's be real, right? We say, nah. I'd like you to think today, just think about something that you've done in your life, right, that has been hard, that you've looked at it and said, I don't think I can make it through this. I don't think this is for me, and yet you said, I'm going to go for it, and you made it to the other side. Some of you probably said that about college or about school or about a trade or about a job that you entered. I don't think I can do this. But you decided to do it anyway. I told First Service, and I'll tell you, some of the hardest things that I've done is the Army, basic training. My mind wasn't set for that. I didn't realize the moments. It's funny, and I say this in the kindest of ways, but in the department that I was in, I sat with people that went through really actual hard things, saw some things in battle that I didn't get to see, were working through in their mind things that I could never understand. And to be honest with you, everything that I've heard from here, from my other church, it just still hasn't matched up with some of the hard things that I heard from those soldiers that they did in battle. It's just the truth. So you all think you're going through hard stuff. When a young man comes and said, I had to look a kid in their face. I mean, come on now. Hard stuff, right? That still I work through with people today. Like real stuff. Like things that change your life and your mindset forever. And yet you had to do it. And I know for many of you, you've had some hard moments in your life. And see, the problem is in hard moments, the easiest thing to do is to retreat. To say, I can't. I'll never. They said I wasn't good enough, so why am I gonna? And here we see a man, my goodness, in a time when persecution was strong, when things were happening that just seemed to be debilitating, yet seemed to be the greatest days in the church ever. He was brought by the Lord Jesus Christ himself a hard task. Now, I want you to get this here, because we get this confused, because it is confusing. I just want to be honest with you. Like, sometimes in the Bible, right, the angel, the Lord, or God himself comes and speaks, and some speak to him back, right? I mean, it's amazing to me anyway that they speak back, right? But some speak back and like they can't talk for 9 months. Do you know what I'm saying? And then some speak back and it's like just fine. Well, it's because you got to look at the way in which the intent of the heart has presented it. And so sometimes it's like, well, you can't do that. Well, you know, God doesn't like that. And so he says, you're not going to talk for a couple of months. But then sometimes it's in a sense like this, which is different in that he was wanting to have a conversation with Jesus. He wasn't saying you can't. He wasn't saying it won't. He was saying, you know, this man, it's evil. He's evil. He's full of evil. He's living out evil. In fact, he went as far in the translation, it actually says that he had a depraved mind. See, Ananias wasn't saying that you could change it. He wasn't saying that God couldn't do it. He wasn't saying, no, I'm not going to go. In fact, the way it translates is he's saying, you know, Jesus, his mind is gone. You know, unfortunately, there are many minds in the day and age that we live in right now that are just gone. The hurt is so bad that they've just disconnected. Their hearts are so broken that they don't know where to go. Their lives are so disconnected from good things that they're just saying, you know what? I'm just going to be everything that isn't good. And so, Ananias approaches Jesus in this way that he says, man, his very core is depraved. Now, hold on a second. Now, this I'm not going to talk much about Saul Paul, but he's talking about Saul who turns into Paul who gives us much of this half of the Bible. So you can't tell me today that the minds at the hearts that are lost, that are discouraged, that feel like there's not a way out, feel like there's no hope, have given in to all things that aren't good for them, that they can't be. But see, it took Ananias being willing to remain uncomfortable to make a change. A change that around the world today, I promise you, thousands of pastors preach the words of Paul. So Ananias, this just servant of God, willing to be uncomfortable, goes forth in a very uncomfortable situation and does a hard thing. So let's talk about Ananias for a second. Kind of an interesting name, right? Ananias. Strange. We should name our next kid Ananias. You know what I mean? So I'm back on that boat. So anyway, you know, I've been off the boat of having more children. And then Janae, I know it's exhausting her because I go back and forth. I can flip a switch like that. You know what I'm saying? Like one day I'm never having another kid. We're not doing this again. I can't even take it. Then the next day we send our kid 3 days away to Girl Scout camp. And I'm like, we're having another kid. I can't take this. So anyway, I'm literally barely holding it together. I cannot wait for her to get in the car at 3. That's in 3 hours. So I'm just going to go on and preach until then. Is that all right? Y'all ain't got nothing to do. You got your coffee. I'll make you a sandwich and we'll just go on. But I want you to think about this. There's a couple of things about his name and this encounter that's significant. Meaning, he's kind of like most pastors, and I've done this, right? We preach about the transformation. We preach about Saul going from Paul. We preach about all these things, and we forget that there is a very tiny little picture of a dude who says, okay, I'll go do something really risky for you, Jesus. What's so significant about this encounter with Ananias? Well, there was something about him that is not spoken of or we don't read in the scriptures, but that's there. Because so far, since Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, and because of Jesus' sacrifice is unleashed everywhere and is working in so many people, so far we've seen prophecies in this New Testament, new church. At the time, they would have been called Messiah followers. We see angels speak. Remember, we talked about angels speaking. That makes you a little uncomfortable, right? And we've seen the Holy Spirit speak. And here's where theology, when pastors stand up and say, Jesus is always at the right hand of the Father. Yeah, he is sometimes, but sometimes he stands up. Sometimes he actually goes and speaks. And in this moment, guess what Ananias got to do? He didn't hear from the Holy Spirit. He didn't hear from a prophecy. He didn't hear from an angel. He heard from Jesus Christ himself. Church, this is significant. Jesus said, this is so important. I'm not sending an angel. I'm not sending a prophecy to be reminded. I'm not sending the Holy Spirit. I'm going. Whew. Tell me that doesn't speak to you. You know why I should speak to you? Because Ananias is on this side of things. meaning he isn't pre this crucifixion, he's post the crucifixion. And what are you? You're post the crucifixion. Y'all should be on fire when you get to AFC. And then you should go out on fire. You know why? Because Jesus wants and desires to go from here to here. And Ananias, he knew well enough to know he would say yes. Most of you can't even get through church, right, without sleeping. I have a little joke about that. This is my journey. We've had a long journey to where I am today, but I used to do overnights at a group home in a behavioral unit that was like locked down, and you were in there by yourself, and I mean, things happened. I'm just being honest. It was a dangerous place, but it was my way to get in. I just got my degree, and I said, I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to start wherever. So I'm going to start at overnights, and I worked overtime every single week to save money to pay for my college because my parents wouldn't pay for it. And just for fun, if you fell asleep, I mean, I could put all the children to bed, right? And I could do all the checklists, have all the videos on, and I would literally sit there as you're supposed to do the checks, you watch the videos, and if my head nodded, okay, I don't know how they did it, but they'd be standing next to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like creepy, you know what I'm saying? I would say, how do they? And all the night shift would say, don't you sleep. They're going to find you out, and they're going to be there. Now, a lot of times when my head nodded, other things happened that I had to get, you know, taken care of before the morning shift came in. But anyway, so I wouldn't sleep here because the God of, you know, he's watching. Anyway, think about this for a second. Jesus comes directly to him. And Ananias wasn't defiant. In fact, what he did was said, I want to have a conversation. I want to talk to you about what happened, what's going on. And so how do I, and here's what happened. He was saying, how do I take a depraved mind and change it? You know what Jesus says? You got to lay hands on it. Do you know how that translates? Up close and personal. It's not a text. It's not a call. It's not an email. It's a go. It's a walk the street, and you're going to have to get with him. In fact, right now he can't see. And he won't be able to see until you get there. He wasn't defiant. He said, what do I do with depravity? I don't really know. This is all new to me. He's depraved. And so the question today is, you should, but when you hear the whisper, the voice, we talked about the Holy Spirit, but church, I believe that there are times when Jesus speaks. I believe that there are moments when Jesus comes and he's right there. And I can tell when it's no longer the Holy Spirit. And you're going to say, Pastor, you're talking crazy. It's right here in the scripture. We spoke about it yesterday. The whole day was about growing in friendship with Jesus. How are you growing in friendship with Jesus? When he comes, what happens? So, when Jesus came to Ananias, we can only go off of this, right? And so we're going to go off what happened. I love this because many of us literally take the scripture so literally. There wasn't a road named straight. Do you know what I'm saying? Y'all, I think it's so funny when I do this in Bible study and stuff. Well, I mean, it's a road. I'm like, no. He actually told him where to go, which is Judas's house. The Spirit gave him the guidance. And he was saying to Ananias, like, because Ananias was a little scared. Y'all remember Saul? He was doing what? You like getting beat up? Oh, you do? Okay. Well, let's meet out in the parking lot later. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's work it out, okay? I'm just kidding. So you don't like being beat up or hit or punched or killed or put in prison, right? And so here's poor Ananias. Knowing what Saul was all about, Jesus said, now, Ananias, he's straight. You ever say that to your kids? Listen, you better straighten out or I'm going to straighten you out. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you say that? Probably not anymore. No, we don't want our kids to be straightened out. Anyway, Jesus was a little bit humorous here. He said, oh no, he's straight. He's so straight that he can't even see till you get there. So he's actually just sitting and praying. And this is the thing. And this is what I want you to know. And I want you to get when we're done this series is that you've got to become okay with being uncomfortable. Because you know what Jesus does? It's uncomfortable for a moment, but then the way he always does, he comes in and he says, Ananias, I straighten him out. You just need to go. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to put you in prison. He's not going to... Heard it a lot here. People are scared to encounter, to say, to speak, to go, to walk. And I'm like, just try it. Just see. Give it a chance. You know, Jesus is so good to Ananias, and they have this tight relationship that he goes on to say. So in order to further convince Ananias, hey, just go, there's no problem, he says something very specific. Something that's only said a few times in the scripture. And actually only said this way one time. He is my, not the Holy Spirit's, not God's, not, he is my chosen instrument. Why is using instruments significant? Here's the deal, right? If you take a mouthpiece, I said this earlier, but if you take a mouthpiece and try to play guitar with it as a pick, it's not going to work, right? And if you take a violin and you take a French horn mouthpiece and try to use it, it's not going to work, right? So what you've got to understand here is Jesus was being very specific with Ananias. He said, not only is he straight, but he's a chosen specific instrument for something very specific. And now today, thousands of pastors have preached words that Paul spoke. From Romans, from 1st and 2nd Timothy. I mean, come on now. Y'all should be hooting and hollering. All because Ananias, kind of the background person in this whole thing, listened and said yes. So Ananias gets it. Now, he was obedient. He was all in. And here's the challenge in all of this, okay? Because here's what we like to do in churchism, okay? We like to be like Jonah. Well, I will finally, after much argument, I will go. And if they're changed, I will sit back and wait for them to go back to the way they were. It's the curse of the church. It's almost like when we see people change, we're sitting on the sideline waiting for them to go back. What if you just treated them like they'll never go back to the... And you say, well, Pastor, come on now, I've seen it all. I got people this week that I'm talking to because they went 3 months and then bam. But you know what I'm not doing? Saying, well, I knew it was going to happen anyway. No, I'm saying, I'm still here. Stop by. Because you're still worth something. You're still important. The church will still receive you. No, they won't. Now, you know, I say that I said it on Thursday and on Friday to somebody. And I actually don't know. Isn't that hard? I know you all well, but I don't know you that well. Where I do get a little nervous. Because some people do know what happened. And they do know there was a relapse. And I know that when I see him, I'm going to run up to him and say, everything's okay. Hey, we're so glad you're here, like, to kind of protect them from the possibility of, I shouldn't have to fear that. Because where have you been? And where are you going? And are you always, and maybe it's not a relapse like that, but your mouth, your attitude, the way you act, come on now, let's just boil it down. And Ananias shows none of that. And here's how we know. So as he's walking along to the straight road, which isn't a road, to Judas's house, he had to be like, you know, Saul was responsible for so-and-so. We did this last week, remember? Saul killed, Saul did, Saul. You know, a lot in that day was pretty much attributed to this leader, Saul. And here's what I love. He didn't go and said, Jesus told me to come here. I didn't want to. I don't think you'll actually change. I mean, but I'm going to do it, but I'm going to watch you. I'm going to keep my eye on you. Or like good church people, you know what they do, right? They go in and just don't say it in there. They tell their friends or their spouse. I mean, they're going to go back to the way, but I'll see how it goes. I'll love them to a distance, but... Here's how we know that's not Ananias' heart, and this is why we know that Jesus went to him. He went up to him and said, brother. A brother that done did him wrong. A brother that done did the kingdom of God wrong. Y'all been done wrong? What does your response look like in that? Is it grace, mercy? Is it embrace? Or is it, you better apologize? And you know what? Apologize, I ain't going to receive it anyway, because my heart's corrupt too. That wasn't Ananias. He could have said a whole bunch of stuff. And you know what he did? He walked in and said, brother, it's time for me to... You know what brother did, right? Because in this day, you would only said brother to a what? A fellow believer. Well, wait a minute. He wasn't a fellow. Yes, he was, because you know what Jesus said? Jesus said it was straight, meaning he and I have worked out that the Messiah has come. That's over with. It's straight. Now go lay on the hands to bless the ministry to come. He didn't question his transformation. He didn't say this was uncomfortable. He didn't get nervous. Here's what's crazy. Something happened in Ananias. Something significant. He went from telling Jesus his mind is depraved. It's off. It's hurting everybody. To literally, it's like a complete mind shift. To brother, let's lay on the hands and let's send you out. And so we always talk about how this was like Paul's just transforming moment. Church, Ananias, who heard from Jesus, who didn't have any type of baggage on him, went and said, hey, there's some real transformation there that we miss. He let his mindset go because he had a mindset. He immediately knew about that man when Jesus said that man's name. And he had to let all those thoughts go and embrace him as an equal. You see how this is all working together? If you remember the first week, the ravaging, which was actually taking the filth, because Saul considered Ananias filth. Before this transformation, had Ananias gone up to Saul, do you know what Saul would have done? Your filth, go to prison. And all of a sudden, they're brothers. The change is in the subject. You know why? Paul, Saul, already changed. Jesus done did that. The change here was in Ananias. The subject being obedient. And then I'm going to head into the same thing. You're going to say, Pastor, you're so repetitive. I know. But I want you to think about this because this is significant. Many times I can still remember Dr. Stan Toler, right, laying hands on me, who's now gone to be with the Lord. He was a general superintendent, very powerful speaker, communicator, writer. I mean, his words are tremendous. They still use his words and books and quotes. And I mean, just a tremendous man of God. He laid hands on me. Same model has happened right here. And I am just as much a wretch without Christ as Saul. It happened here just a couple weeks ago. Dr. Busick laid hands on the ordinands to send them out into called out, apart, however you want to use the language, ministry. And so Ananias busts the doors open in the very place that Jesus said to go, and he said, brother, let's get this going because something's for real here, because Jesus said you're his chosen instrument. That's very specific, not chosen person, not chosen Messiah follower, a chosen instrument for something very specific. There it is. Whew. And so Ananias was key. You are key. In fact, Ananias was faithful. He laid his hands. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, Jesus changed him, but he needed the vessel of the Holy Spirit. This is theological. He needed the vessel that had the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus encountered him? Well, he needed the Holy Spirit to go out and be able to speak in a way that he never spoke before. Because he actually went out in a couple of days and did what? Spoke in ways that were opposite of what he spoke like a week ago. This is the kind of transformation that Jesus brings. You don't even talk like you used to. Now, Jesus, you say, well, why didn't Jesus just, I don't know, but there's something to Jesus encountering us and becoming our friend and the Spirit being sent to move in us. And so this being, Ananias, had to go and lay hands so that Paul could be sent. And so, two worlds collide. And what's interesting is two worlds going in opposite directions, all of a sudden, because of faithfulness and willingness to be uncomfortable, come together. And then what's crazy is they go in the same direction and just speed up. And the fact that Ananias' hands were the ones on Saul meant that he was the one that Jesus desired to do this. And maybe you're the one that Jesus desires to do so. Take away Ananias, and Jesus would have had to go somewhere else. I don't know about, maybe you don't struggle with this, but I feel like I don't think when Jesus comes to you that he meant to go to someone else, or he would have never come to you to begin with. See, now we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about, like, you're a believer and you have a call. And Jesus comes and says, this is for you. And you say, and church, I think the repetitiveness is that I don't think we as a church, if we really embrace what it meant to be a Messiah follower, we wouldn't have to really, we'd just be baptizing every week, right? Because a bunch of Joseph, Ananias, and D'Agostinos would be running around. And people would just be having their hands laid on, and then a bunch of Joseph, Philip, D'Agostinos would just be running around. And we would, when we get together, we just have enough time to baptize and get them sent. But it's just not happening. When's the last time we baptized, Abby? So I'm actually talking to you, to me. So take away Joe on Friday, then where would he have gone? Because I sat in my car and he said, I don't have anybody else that I just feel like I can relax and say. I said, well, so-and-so, well, they kind of said that, like, I need to, I was like, oh, what I was afraid of. So the key is we have everything we need. You know what Ananias didn't do? He didn't say, well, Jesus, I need, and I think you should, and if you could, and have it ready when I get there. We love that in the church. We better, if we don't, then we don't. He just figured Jesus would have it all ready. You know what? Jesus did. Saul was just sitting there waiting, praying, and it was like, poof. And you know what happened after that? Because of Ananias being okay with Jesus' plan, saying, okay, I'll be a willing vessel to go to somebody who hates us, and I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to call him brother, and I'm going to embrace him as if he were and he is, and I'm not going to wait for his downfall. I'm going to celebrate him. I'm going to lay on hands, and I'm going to unleashed was Paul. Whew. I mean, if you know anything, and I don't care what you know about the Bible or what you don't know, but I'll tell you, at that moment, Paul was unleashed. People get the thorn in the side so confused. I'm like, if you were responsible for all these things, deaths and imprisonments and just ravaging of the church, and then all of a sudden the scales fell off and you saw all that you were a part of that really wasn't what God intended. I mean, imagine the burden that he carried. And then think, okay, that makes sense. His fervency, his drive, his call, his wanting to get the truth out, his wanting to be there to correct the wrongs, because he knew, he understood firsthand. But little old Ananias, who said, Jesus, he's evil. And Jesus said, oh no, he's straight. go get with him. Ananias got up and he went. And he said, I don't see you like you were. I don't see you the way people think you. I see you as a brother. And I know this is like, but I picture kind of like a saloon. Is that okay? I know we're in the church, but all right, anyway. I picture like the saloon doors opening or the coffee bar door. It's really flexible. Anyway, I just picture him like that flexible door opening and he walks in and it swings backwards and his arms open up because it says in here he screamed, brother! And Saul's like, I'm not your brother. I mean, that's probably what he's thinking. I mean, I've been killing y'all. And he says, brother, it's time to lay hands and send you out. You know, a lot of us in the church, we go, brother, God said, but I know I'm going to sit and wait like Jonah because you're going to mess up again, and I'm going to tell you about it when you do. Now, I'm not talking tough love sometimes has to come. But this was just like, hey, let's get this going because something is going to happen in you. And so what if you are the vessel that unleashes a Paul? What if you are the vessel that unleashes an Ashley, a Joe, an Abby, a Brian, a Mitchell, a Reese, a Carla, a Brian, a Brenda? Come on now. What if you are? And I'm pretty sure you are. I'm pretty sure you are. I want to play this, and for our online viewers, we can't play it online, and so I'm going to ask you to go online and watch this. It's Kingdom by Maverick City and Kirk Franklin, and pray as you listen. And so thank you for joining. Y'all are going to stay with me. But think about this unleashing power. Think about this Jesus coming to you and actually speaking. And what could happen in the kingdom of God if we would just be the vessels of God?